with Hugh Fraser.
It's 18 minutes to 2 o'clock, and an unsigned WhatsApp says, during the week you're referring to Poppy's book as a novel, today as a true life story. Well, I don't think you're listening to the right show, frankly, because throughout the week, all of our communication on this particular film is that it's based on a book written by Elsa Hubert, and that it tells the story, a real life story of a South African domestic worker. And it was written, of course, by Elsa Hubert, and we were going to touch on these details in the Friday profile, in fact. But the reality is that it's the story of a woman that used to work in her home. The names have been changed, but the character was actually inspired. It's not even inspired. It's the actual story of the woman, the domestic worker that worked with Elsa Hubert in her own home. So it's not fiction. It's actually a real life story. Let's talk about other films that are opening at the box office. And today, Hugh Fraser tells us what we can expect at the movies. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, I'm just adding a dash of glamour to Cape Town, you know, because I'm not quite. I'm reporting from Cape Town.
Like Cape Town needs it. It's already so glamorous.
First up this week, Cinnamon Vaux is screening the classic Pulp Fiction, which in my mind came out like last year, but I think it's already 20-something years old. There's one screening, and I think it's probably a nice thing to do to see it on the big screen, and there's only one screening. It's on Thursday, the 30th of January, so that's next Thursday at 8 o'clock. So if you're a Tarantino fan, go along to either Rosebank or Brooklyn. And also, which we spoke about last week, my French Film Festival, which has the unsurprising website address of myfrenchfilmfestival.com. Just to remind people, that started last week and it's on for the 16th of February. I've started watching it, and there's a great collection of short movies there, sort of 25-minute movies and then movies. So, and you can watch it in French with subtitles in about 10 languages, and a great choice, and it's free online until the 16th of February.
Lovely. And I know that they have great success, you know, with viewerships from all over the world. So that's still on. And then at the box office, Hugh, I'm really excited because this is one of the kind of movies that I remember from growing up, you know, from my young adult years. I mean, 1995, I'd finished school the previous year and this movie came out and it was action-packed and had lots of humor. And of course, it had Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, whose career had was already taking off. We knew him from In Living Color, and now he was entering into a film. So Bad Boys for Life, which is the third in this franchise.
I sort of went to watch it with long time, I suppose you could say, but it's surprisingly entertaining. I mean, Will Smith is very comfortable. So occasionally he doesn't do such great stuff. But here, it's kind of weird. I mean, I suppose they are both in their mid-50s, and they play two police officers who are in their mid-50s, and Martin Lawrence's daughter has just had a child. And there's a great opening sequence with him driving in a Porsche. I mean, since when do police drive Porsche? But hey, maybe I'm not so sure. But there's a great drag race through Miami, which I was at a few months ago, and it's quite a remarkable city in itself. And I think these cities vie with each other to, you know, because it makes them look good. And this is a huge production. It's a big name, big budget production, and it revolves around a Mexican drug gang who start killing particular law enforcement people's policemen, judges, who were involved in a particular case that involved some Mexican drug family. And there's an attempt, I'm not giving too much away, but as it happens right at the beginning, there's an attempt on Will Smith. So now he starts hunting them down. It's very funny. I mean, there are a couple of scenes that did have me laughing out loud, but the banter between Lawrence and Smith becomes a little bit irksome. But it's extremely slick, and as I say, it's got big budgets, and it jumps between Miami and Mexico. It's pure escapism, and I think people who like that kind of stuff will really enjoy it. So, I mean, you do leave with a bit of a smile on your face.
Yeah, oh, nice. I'm glad, because the first two for me were really winning. I love the banter between the two artists. It was directed by Michael Bay, and he said that when he did it, when he directed the first one, which was in 1995, he actually didn't like the script. And he often engaged with the two actors, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. They would get into a discussion about how the dialogue and scenes could improve. So this was actually a collective effort. So when you see it on screen, a lot of it is just due to the improvisation that was going on between the actors. And I mean, Michael Bay is just so is such an expert at these action scenes. But this last one, the third installment, Bad Boys for Life, is not directed by him. So I think for me, I'll be looking out for the differences. It was done by Adil El Abi and Bilal Fallah. So it was directed, two directors came together for it, and Jerry Bruckheimer produced it.
I think you're right. I mean, it does rely on the banter between the two. And Lawrence, Martin Lawrence, you know, is particularly well known as a comedian.
Yeah, yes, I had to actually remind myself that yes, Will Smith is 51. When you said they're both in their 50s, I thought, what? Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't look a day older.
I mean, when
than
I watched it, I thought Martin Lawrence's daughter was having, I thought that he was having a baby, and then, you know, from the storyline, you saw him having a baby, it's his daughter having a baby.
Okay. And then the second film for today is Bombshell, which does feature in the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, that's right. It's got best actress, our own Charlize, best supporting actress, Margot Robbie, and best makeup and hairstyling. And I have to say,
oh, really?
I didn't realize that. The hair is hilarious. I mean, I don't know what it is about American news channels. Do women, especially blonde, well, I think they turn all women into, I mean, even if you're black, you go blonde. And Nicole Kidman's face disappears into the hair.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious. I mean, it's probably a prerequisite. It's really quite bizarre. But the movie itself looks at, it's set in 2016, before the Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement saga started. And it involves Roger Ailes, who I wasn't aware of, but he was a big name in Fox News. He basically started it. And in about 2016, a couple of the women started accusing him of sexual harassment and assault. It's surprisingly slickly done, and it's very engrossing. Charlize is great. I mean, she's had her face. When she starts, you actually don't recognize her.
You don't,
I think she's had her face. She's had her face remodeled to look like Megyn Kelly, who she plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's not permanent. But I remember from Monsters and whatever it was, where she, I think Charlize got the Oscar for that.
Mm.
She really gets into her character. She put on weight and she really changed herself. She morphed in that movie, and she's done it again. So it's quite engrossing, and Charlize is in it, Margot Robbie's in it, and Nicole Kidman. Malcolm McDowell, from the movie from Clipbook Orange from years ago, and John Lithgow plays Ailes, and he plays him really very, very well.
Mm.
I'm not completely sure, once again, if they've stuck to the facts, but it's really dramatic. And I think people who enjoy that kind of stuff will enjoy it. And we'll see what happens in the Oscars.
Yes. And also, you'll find yourself staring at that hair. I think that's important to emphasize. Watching it, you'll easily just be staring at. And yes, Charlize Theron trying to understand what happened to the face, but ultimately also the hair. I don't know how much hairspray they used. As you said, Nicole Kidman's face is literally, it's almost as if she's wearing a hoodie, but it's actually just a hair hanging over the face. So interesting that it got an award for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if one does go to watch it, sort of look at the sort of gender politics that are at play there. I mean, I think there are quite strict requirements that are put on women. I mean, they're all like ramp models in a way.
Mm.
And I should think that Fox News, who I don't think are particularly renowned for their left-wing views, have requirements, you know, the type of women that they would employ and the way that they're supposed to look. Because Gretchen, I forgot what her surname is, played by Nicole Kidman, as soon as she leaves the set, her hair calms down. So I'm wondering if they sort of pump the hair up or something. I don't know what they do.
Yes.
Use hairspray or something.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting insight into the conduct of Fox News.
Mm.
But he died in 2017. So I found out he was a hemophilic. And anyway, I don't want to get too much of the story.
Sure.
But it's next week, grossing view.
Fantastic. Hugh, thank you very much. And enjoy Cape Town.
Next week.
That's our Hugh Fraser. Check out 58 Seconds. And he's got the Facebook page as well as the Instagram page. And this time around, the big film's opening at the box office is the action-packed Bad Boys for Life, featuring Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. And then, of course, Bombshell, which comes at a perfect time, you know, during this Me Too era, the revelations. And Hollywood, it's interesting to see how Hollywood didn't flake on this and choosing to support the telling of a story when someone as prominent as Harvey Weinstein is implicated. So Bombshell, featuring Charlize Theron, also opens.